You're listening to Talking Heads on Manx Radio through until 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's Dan Davis with you. And on Talking Heads this morning, our talking point, the fluoridation debate, is one that polarizes opinion on both sides. Is it mass medication or is it an effective tool for reducing incidence of tooth decay and dental caries in the Isle of Man, where we do have the worst rate, with the exception of, I think, of Glasgow and Belfast in Europe, of dental caries? We'll be talking to Dr. Paul Emerson, who is consultant in public health from the Isle of Man Public Health Directorate. We also asked the Isle of Man Campaign for Non-Fluoridated Water to put forward somebody to join in the discussion. They nominated a UK specialist, Dr. Peter Mansfield, who is a campaigner against fluoride. He'll be joining us on the line in just a few minutes. We'd like you to get involved this morning. Fluoridation is the topic. If you have a comment on fluoridation in the Isle of Man, the Department of Health and Social Security has said that it will have a year-long consultation process. 661 368 is our number, 66 13 68. You can call me. You can text me, 166 177, and you can send us an email into the studio, studio@manxradio.com, with your thoughts on fluoridation in the Isle of Man's water supplies. Now, in 1945, Grand Rapids in Michigan became the first town in the world to have its water artificially fluoridated in an effort to reduce incidences of dental caries or dental decay. Now, some 60 years later, many countries around the world fluoridate their water supplies, including Ireland, where fluoridation has been mandatory since 1960. And in the UK, around about 10% of the population drink fluoridated water. Here in the Isle of Man, the Department of Health and Social Security has committed itself to undertaking a public consultation on the issue, but it is an issue which polarises opinion. To explore some of the issues with water fluoridation, I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Paul Emerson, consultant in public health from the Isle of Man Public Health Directorate, and also Dr. Peter Mansfield joins us on the line from the UK. He's been nominated by the Isle of Man Campaign for Non-Fluoridated Tap Water. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Dan.
Paul, if I could just ask you to put your headphones on so you can hear. Dr. Mansfield, can I just, first of all, deal with some of the claims put forward in the leaflet by the Isle of Man Campaign for Fluoridated Tap Water? One of the things that struck me, first of all, says that the fluorides used are toxic waste, not medicines. The fluorosilicates named above are the untreated toxic waste from phosphate fertilizer industries and not pharmaceutical grade or even registered medicines. They contain fluoride, silica, lead, arsenic, cadmium, mercury, phosphate, chromium, nickel, antimony, selenium, and radioactive uranium and polonium. Is this correct?
Well, most of what you said, of course, is in trace amounts. Let's not be alarmist about this, but the plain fact is that the material obtained is the waste product of things like stripping chimney gases so that no waste get into the atmosphere, which is required by Clean Air Act, and it's transported with labels saying how dangerous it is. You know, it has to be treated with great caution because it's terribly dangerous. It's then used because most of the ingredient is hexafluorosilicate. That's one of the examples of the things that can be used for fluoridation. I don't know what is proposed for the Isle of Man. No doubt Dr. Emerson will tell us, but it gives you an idea of the starting point.
Toxic waste, Paul Emerson.
Garbage. It's not. It's a co-product of that happens or that is formed during the making of organic, or at least of fertilizer products. To say that it's toxic waste because it's a co-product is really a misuse of terminology, and I'm afraid the propaganda machine of the anti-fluoride brigade is in full flow this morning again. It is a co-product, and there are lots of other co-products that we can talk about. Some of the cement co-products are used in formulating iron sulfate, which is an important, I'm sure Dr. Mansfield will agree, is an important medication. It's interesting that they'll say it's non-medical, and then the next term they'll say we're mass medicating to propose. So, you know, they must be really consistent in this argument.
So, I mean, this could be a good point, that it is a propaganda. When people put out leaflets like this, people have very little scientific understanding, and so people want to get the facts. And when they see things like this in a leaflet saying that it does contain heavy metals and radioactive materials, and it's an untreated toxic waste, do you agree, Dr. Mansfield, that perhaps this is slightly misleading to somebody who has very little understanding of fluoridation?
Well, it's very dramatic, but the fundamental motivation behind fluoridation is to dispose of fluoride, which is a byproduct or co-product or whatever anybody wants to call it, of a great number of industries, including fertilizer. That's another place from which fluoride is obtained, and then cannot be dumped because it is so poisonous. The whole idea was invented, and Grand Rapids was the first victim, because industries like aluminium and coal produce fluoride as a byproduct, having mined something from a safe place underground, and then they've got to get rid of the fluoride. This is maybe the safest way of doing it, but let's be honest about it. I think one man's propaganda is another man's information. I mean, I could just as easily accuse Dr. Emerson of being propagandist, but it's just, let's talk about information and just debate things coolly.
Absolutely, but by the same token, from my point of view, I'm reading this as a consumer, if you like, and from my point of view, I was alarmed to see initially that it said it's toxic waste. It's
well, and so you should be. I mean, no one is out there manufacturing pharmaceutical-grade fluoride products to go into water. Let's be very clear about that. And there are contaminants. Now, I said my first remark was to say the contaminants are at low levels because I've got no... There's no need to commit to hyperbole in these debates because there is already far too much fluoride out there. The National Diet and Nutrition Survey in Britain in 2003 demonstrated that a fifth of people in this country are already consuming at or above the government's supposed safe intake of fluoride, and even that is quite high. So, and that is in most of the places polled were in fact not fluoridated, because as you said at the beginning, only about 10% of the British population receives fluoridated water. We have reason by looking at the data from the National Survey in Scotland, where there is no fluoridation. There, only 11% of people are consuming more than the safe intake. So it suggests that fluoridation pushes the number of people who are over-consuming fluoride to a really unacceptable figure. And we have breaking news in Ireland, which is even worse than that. So I think Dr. Elson has better take a look, and I'll bet you he cannot tell you anything about what fluoride is already being consumed by people on the Isle of Man.
Dr. Emerson.
I'm glad you referred to the Isle of Man because our natural water supplies in the Isle of Man have very, very low level, natural levels of fluoride. So,
Dr. Emerson, most of the time.
Sorry, just let me talk. I'll let you talk if you try not to interrupt there, Dr.
Okay.
Our very low natural levels of fluoride in the water on the Isle of Man, so we can't really compare figures that are used for the UK.
You can. Most of the fluoride in the UK comes from dental toiletries and other sources. It doesn't come from
if you don't mind, I'll just finish.
Go ahead, I thought you paused so that I could comment.
No. We have proposed from the Public Health Directorate, because the oral health status, as you said earlier in the introduction, Dan, is of such poor state on a comparison with Glasgow and Belfast, and we're an island here that shouldn't be in that sort of state, to tackle ways in which we can improve that oral health status. Worldwide, you've said since 1945, worldwide there's national programs of fluoridation of water because it has been proven safe. It's been proven effective, it's been proven cost-effective. All major governments and World Health Organization, professional bodies in most developed countries support fluoridation as a program, as an effective program to decrease the dental caries in a population, especially among children. And that's all we're proposing from the Public Health Directorate. I'm not going to get dragged into the chemistry of this because we would use a safe product. Whether it's hexafluorosilic acid or another one, we would be led by the rules and the regulations that are established in the water by the Water Quality Inspectorate, both in the UK and locally. And we're going to use a safe product. This business about toxic and all the rest of it, I don't think we have time to debate that. We've got to look at the children. For every 1,000 children on the Isle of Man, 150 of them, more than the equivalent population in the average population in the UK, have caries that are significant. We've got to do something about that locally. And the best way we can determine, based on the evidence, is to fluoridate our water program.
Have you finished now?
I've finished now, yeah.
Well, the first intervention for me was to say that I couldn't hear you most of the time before. I am quite interested in what you have to say, but I'm afraid most of it is based on propaganda produced by the British Fluoridation Society for decades. Let me just go through it. I was part of the York Review of Fluoridation, set up by government in 2000. You weren't, I was, but various dental representatives were there, and it was not proven safe. In fact, what was proven was that there wasn't anything like enough research about the safety of fluoridation, and that what there was shamefully poorly constructed. effective.
Sorry, just let's balance that.
Now it's my turn to ask you to keep quiet. Effective, will you say that 15% of children have unacceptable teeth in the Isle of Man?
I didn't say that.
All right, never mind. You said 150 out of 1,000.
I said 15% more than the UK average.
15% more than the UK average?
Yes, 47%.
It's a shame on you for how you look after your children's diet.
It is a shame on us, isn't it?
Well, let's look at the effectiveness of fluoridation to help you. The York Review demonstrated using standard scientific evaluation methods that there was at best something like 15% improvement in teeth to be expected from fluoridation, but an equal and opposite effect on teeth in terms of mottling of a significant degree that would itself require dental treatment. Now, the dentists who took part in it found it very hard to accept this and have been in denial ever since, but I refer you to the documents. It's not been superseded by any other science of equal or better quality, but it has been ignored and denied.
Can I ask...
So when it comes to cost effectiveness, since that was also mentioned, the only document I've seen on cost effectiveness paid no attention at all to damage done to teeth by fluoridation, which is part of the cost.
Can I ask, Dr. Mansfield, based on the York Review, which carried a great deal of weight, you said, why the Royal College of Physicians, why the British Dental Association, the UK Department of Health, the World Health Organization still persist in recommending fluoridation?
Well, in the first place, the dentists on the York Review shamefully leaked its result and lied about the result to the press 10 days before the York Review was launched. The press went to press saying it vindicated fluoridation and then didn't have the spine to retract that vindication when they realised they'd been duped. Ever since that time, the scientists who took part, who had no brief for fluoridation or anti-fluoridation before, have been so incensed by this that they have been lobbying government incessantly. Of course, government got the answer they didn't get the answer they wanted. They wanted proof that fluoride was more effective than that, but they decided to accept that it was still worth going for because they were very wedded to it. So in other words, they said, thank you for telling me it's not much use, but we're going to go ahead anyway. So that's the government's position, and it still is.
It's interesting that you say 15% effect, positive effect, is useless. That's an interesting perspective from us in a public health role.
Well, it is useless if at the same time you're causing an equal and opposite amount of harm to teeth.
That's also not scientifically right. You're not causing an equal and opposite effect. An equal and opposite effect is not the case, and you know that.
Well, I know that if you damage teeth on the one hand to the tune of about 150 per thousand, and you think you're getting a caries protective effect in the same number of children, as far as you're going to have to do the same amount of dentistry, but it's going to be more expensive.
Even if the effect of 15% on mottling, you're assuming that mottling is equivalent to caries, and I would dispute that.
Mottling of significant effect, in other words, that which disfigures teeth sufficiently to require something to be done about it. The mottling is far more prevalent than that.
But I agree that the amount
that was considered sufficiently damaging to require dental attention. And remember, we're talking about teenagers here.
I agree that the only harm done by fluoridation of water, the potential harm done by fluoridation of water, is mottling of teeth, which is a cosmetic effect.
You haven't looked at the science because there's no decent science to look for any other effect.
Are you saying that it is harmful?
I'm saying it's potentially harmful, and we're waiting for the science to clear that up.
For 50 years, we've been looking at all these studies, and I admit the York said that there's need for more quality research. I'd be surprised if they didn't say that. We've got to generate research, and research is good. The evidence after 40 or 50 or 60 years is that there is no harmful effects other than fluorosis.
I beg your pardon.
Okay, sorry, can we just leave it there for a second? We are going to have to just take a quick break. It's 11:27, you Ramsay Bakery time. We're talking about fluoridation in the water. The Isle of Man campaign for non-fluoridated water has put forward a leaflet with a number of facts regarding claims regarding fluoridation of the water. I'm joined on the line by Dr. Peter Mansfield, who's nominated by the Isle of Man campaign for non-fluoridated tap water. Also Paul Emerson, Dr. Paul Emerson, who is consultant in public health from the Isle of Man Public Health Directorate. We'll be taking your calls. We've got a number of calls and texts to go through and emails. We'll be back right after this. We're talking about water fluoridation. The Department of Health and Social Security in the Isle of Man has committed itself to a year-long consultation process regarding fluoridation of the water in the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man campaign for non-fluoridated tap water has released a leaflet with a number of claims regarding fluoridated water. It also invited over a speaker from the United Kingdom some time ago to talk about the effects of dental of fluoridation in comparison to the benefits provided against dental caries, for example. I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Paul Emerson from the Public Health Directorate in the Isle of Man. He's a consultant in public health. Also, Peter Mansfield, Dr. Peter Mansfield, joins us on the line, who's been nominated by the Isle of Man campaign for non-fluoridated tap water to speak. Right, if I can put a couple of points to you both. Mandy called, first of all, to say a lot of countries don't fluoridate their water, and the kids' teeth are much healthier than those in the UK, mainly because they don't have as many sugary drinks and snacks. And then we've touched on this, really. Mandy said fluoride is a waste product from industry that they would have to pay to get rid of otherwise. I think we've really touched on fluoride as a waste product. But let's individually touch on those points then. Paul Emerson, first of all, Dr. Emerson, a lot of countries don't fluoridate their water, and the kids' teeth are much healthier because they don't have as many sugary drinks and snacks. So is this not an issue of education and prevention through regular dental care?
Yes, it's very much that, and unfortunately we would love more resources to put into educating and encouraging people to follow healthy lifestyles and children to follow healthy lifestyles. We're trying, it's failing at the moment, and as everybody knows, it's very, very difficult to restrict intakes of soda drinks and crisps and all sorts of these, the modern diet, to restrict them from kids. We just can't do it. It's like any health lifestyle issue. We encourage adults to stay away from salt. They get high blood pressure because they don't. They go to GPs. GPs give them tablets, and it's just another lifestyle issue. Very, very difficult. Education would work if it was given the right form and the right amount. Unfortunately, at the moment, we can't do that.
Dr. Mansfield, this is in many the high incidence of dental caries is due to a number of lifestyle factors which we have no control over. So, is it not right that the government looks to take steps to reduce that through the use of fluoride?
Well, it's a very defeatist attitude. In fact, we have considerable control over these, and in the past, the public has exercised considerable control. I mean, think of e-numbers. When the public became aware how many of those they didn't fancy taking with their food, they changed their buying habits, and people started to produce alternatives. In other words, if we inform the public correctly, then we get a very strong response, and nobody responds better than the food companies when they see the market change. But there's more to it than this. Dr. Emerson claimed that most developed countries have fluoridation. That's nonsense. Most of it, if anything, they're backing off.
That's also nonsense.
Well, if you talk about America as a developed country, they have quite a bit of fluoride in America. They've also got considerable evidence of problems from fluoride.
And Australia's expanding its program.
Excuse me. Earlier on, you criticised me for trying to interrupt you just so that I could hear you better. Would you mind just leaving me alone for a minute while I do my answering? In this country, even, where non-fluoridated water is available to people, teeth are improving just as much. Even in Professor Lennon's, the principal advocate of fluoride in England, was the dental professor in Liverpool, and Liverpool got an award for the best improvement in dental health in a period not too long ago, the 90s, and they have not got fluoride in Liverpool. So one can cherry pick these things, but the basic fact when we come down to it is that the evidence, when properly assessed, and not just by people, I am not a member of a campaign against fluoridation. I'm an independent scientist who has a curious mind and have nobody on my back telling me what to do.
You're a member of the National Pure Water Association.
Incorrect again, Mr. Emerson.
I was reading a publication or a website that was given to me yesterday.
It's way out of date. I haven't been involved with the NPWA for something like 10 years. Right. Excuse me.
So, sorry.
I cherish my independence. You don't have any independence to cherish, so I can appreciate the difficulties you have there.
Well, I mean, that's
right.
Debatable.
So let's move on. Mike texted to say, maybe high figures of dental caries are because there are no dentists anymore and people can't afford private dentists.
Well, that sort of strengthens the argument for fluoridation of water. We're not talking about dental visits here. We're talking about trying to decrease the need to go to dentists, and that's what fluoridation of water is about.
And if you talk to parents and make clear to them what the issues are, most of the parents that I've dealt with as a GP for the last 40 years are quite happy to change their diet. In England, I can't speak for the other man, but in England, the prevailing colour of baker's shop windows has changed from white to a sort of muddy grey-brown, which is indicative of the kind of preferences people are now exercising for food which is healthier. People can brush and floss their teeth, and the sales of dental toiletries are pretty colossal. People who don't know about this need to be told and need to be helped. But there's nothing. The trouble is that disadvantaged people who are supposed to get more caries are also more susceptible to the adverse effects of caries, precisely because their diet isn't so good. So you're in a cleft stick here. You cannot actually close the social divide by fluoridating.
Sure.
A great effort was made to do this, or to demonstrate that there was that possibility during the York Review. One of the six main questions put to the York Review was, does it do anything for the social class divide? And there was a pathetically small amount of evidence that was worth even looking at. And we were down to groups of people in single figures, 6, 7, and 8 people in a cell in a table, out of which there came a very guarded and extremely small, well, maybe it improves certain people in certain age groups in certain parts of the country. In other words, it doesn't really do the sort of good that is justified by the size of this campaign.
That's your interpretation of that.
Well, I was a member of the review. I speak only from what I know,
yes,
sir.
I know.
I don't think you do. You're quoting a lot of things which I've heard many times before from documents produced by people in favour of fluoridation all over the world.
Yes.
And I think you're being duped.
And you're saying that they're all wrong.
I am, yes, because I was part of the only scientific review to take a proper look at it, and they were shocked.
The only scientific review to take a proper look at it?
The only proper scientific review, systematic scientific review, looking at things in a standardized way, giving proper weight to proper studies.
And they've said that fluoridation of water is harmful?
They've said fluoridation of water does as much harm as good, and we do not know what harm it does in other parts of the body. We can only have a glimpse at teeth because no adequate evidence has come up. The reason you can't find any evidence that it does harm elsewhere is there isn't any decent evidence. I was cut off just before I could say that, before the last break. The York Review found no decent evidence on hip fracture, on sarcoma of bone in males, all the other things which have been raised quite seriously by serious epidemiologists across the world and promptly rubbished by dentists like you.
So I'm not a dentist, sorry, but you're misinformed
it's
as well.
Then. To be. I'm not informed at all. I don't know what you are, but you obviously
well,
have
then
a very
don't
great
say
interest
I'm
in
not
dentistry.
A dentist. No.
Well, if you're not a dentist, if you're a public health doctor, surely to goodness you should be more interested in the adverse effects of fluoride elsewhere in the body. Well,
yes,
it's the most comprehensive poison we know about.
There is no minimum safe figure
that one can consume. And in Britain, 20% of people are consuming more than even the government says is safe.
I'm not going to respond to all this nonsense that you're talking about.
It is nonsense.
With respect, it's nonsense. And you know that the claims by the reason why we're here, the claims is a claim by the pro-fluoride lobby about all the evidence for fractured hips and renal pathology and cancers, which there is no evidence to support at all, really, of any significance.
I agree with you about that. There is
why do you claim it then?
Sorry, can I just interrupt here? Because I think Dr. Emerson has a point here when he says that the anti-fluoride lobby use things in a leaflet distributed by the Isle of Man campaign for non-fluoridated tap water. They say there are health risks associated with water fluoridation, including lower IQ, kidney problems, and bone cancer. And this is stated in a leaflet designed to say that it is the truth about fluoride. And
let's put it like this. It's at least as much of the truth as what Dr. Emerson is saying. I take a middle position.
But you just said, sorry, Dr. Mansfield, you said the York Review came up and said it could find no evidence to support the claims by epidemiologists regarding...
I said it could find no evidence to say one way or the other. That's what I said.
But is it right, then, that people make claims in leaflets like this designed to inform or to inform people and give them the opportunity to make a balance,
well,
as you say...
It depends which papers you choose. I could show you 20 papers which make a very impressive case that hip fracture is higher in fluoridated water areas. I could also show you another 10 or 15 which cast doubt on that.
But my point...
I haven't finished my point.
My point was that leaflets like this, which are distributed in times of public consultation and purport to give the truth and unbiased information are in fact inaccurate and unsubstantiated.
If you want to be fully accurate, there's very little you can say because we don't have the information.
That's my point regarding this. There are no claims. There are no scientific references on this leaflet.
There are plenty I could give you.
On this leaflet I'm talking about that's been distributed.
Do you think that would help or would that simply cloud the issue?
I think it would help as a consumer.
Right, ask for them, you will get them tomorrow from the campaign. I'm quite sure of that. I mean, because they're all in the... I mean, I could pull the reviews down off the shelf where I'm sat and give them to you now. But it wouldn't mean anything to you because you wouldn't know what significance to attach to them. The people who have evaluated them against the scientific norms, the gold standards for evaluating scientific work, treating each paper as a sample in its own right, and doing studies of studies, in effect, the people who have done that properly, which is the York Review, that was appointed by the government, remember, there's not enough evidence one way or the other.
And that's a fact.
Right, so we can't debate it, but we can say there is plenty of reason to wonder. And in this country, studies have been confused in any case by assuming that fluoride is coming from water and from nowhere else. Dr. Emerson thinks this.
You're talking again out of a knowledge base that is very, very slim, because I actually have put out papers and stuff declaring on informing people where the other sources of fluoride are. I think it's very difficult for the...
Do you know how much fluoride people in the Isle of Man are getting now?
I don't know the exact amount, no.
I think you should check. It only takes 24-hour urine specimens. Mm. There are 36 being studied in
I think we're getting
Ireland,
sort of sidetracked on the issue here.
And I published those several hundred. And I can tell you that fact, that in Britain, 30% of the people, and it's been confirmed since by the National Diet and Nutrition Survey in this country, more than 20% of older people are consuming more fluoride than even the government thinks is good for them. And the government favours fluoride in more or less every conceivable way.
I just want to go back to something you said earlier about contracting...
I noticed that you're ignoring. Whenever I make that point, you ignore it.
No, well, you're just throwing stats and stuff, and I don't think the public are interested in that.
Well, I think a fifth is easy to understand. Well, then what about a fifth that do you not understand, Dr. Emerson?
We're just getting sidetracked from the issue here.
I don't think so.
You did say...
already having too much fluoride.
I'm going back to something you said earlier.
Yeah.
You said earlier that there's a decreasing number of fluoridation programs coming into existence. The trend is...
I say people have been withdrawing fluoridation programs across Europe.
But what are the reasons for that?
To reduce the amount they put in the water from one...
That's neither here nor there. That's part of the program.
It's a retreat from fluoridation.
No, when you monitor it and you decide you need lower levels, then you put lower levels in, as you do with chlorine and all the other things we add to water every day. So, I mean, that's a nonsensical argument. The reason they don't do it...
You don't even know what the people of the Isle of Man are...
The reason they don't... Can I just say... The reason they don't fluoridate in places like France and Germany and Switzerland is that those places can't technically support proper water fluoridation programs, so they do it fluoriding their salt or milk.
It's local opinion.
It's nothing to do with the harmful effects of fluoridation. It's local politics, and that's what we're at about here. If the public decide they don't want fluoridation, then that's what will happen. If the public wants fluoridation, then we hope that the local politicians will implement the public desire.
This is all about you wanting fluoridation, Dr. Emerson. It's nothing to do with the Manx public. You're not really giving them the information that counts. I can only...
Your information counts, is it?
Yes, it does, because it's actually unbiased information. I sit right in the middle.
I'm allowed
to listen to whom I please, and I dislike the manners of both sides of this campaign.
Yeah.
But I do think that the truth is out there, and the truth is not very complimentary to fluoridation. It makes it look extremely mischievous, at the very least. It does at least as much harm as it does good to teeth.
450 million people have their water fluoridated. There's not evidence at all of any harmful effects other than fluorosis. It's not a new venture. It's a cost-effective venture.
You're really not listening. There is not adequate evidence.
I've listened to this sort of argument that you're putting out for years, and quite frankly, there's no change there.
As a matter of fact, you haven't been listening at all in that case, because there is change. I'm just telling you that we now have evidence since 2003 only of which I played some modest part in accumulating, but it's confirmed by the British authorities, the Food Standards Association agency, that we have fluoride in the urine of British people, suggesting that they're consuming much more than is good for them of fluoride already, even in non-fluoridated areas. So we have the inverse problem to the one that you're thinking about, and you don't even know what your people are consuming yet.
I don't need to know at the moment.
Do you not?
No.
Why do you not need to know?
Because we know a fluoridation of water supplies is safe.
Well, that is just bunk.
And we know our oral health status of the children is too poor, and we know we've got to do something about that. And because fluoridation is safe, and because fluoridation of water supplies is cost-effective, we would propose that that gets done. It's
How
difficult to change lifestyle habits.
How can you say fluoridation of water is cost-effective when the document that weighs the cost and effect does not even mention damage to teeth?
You've got to take that up with the CDC in America if you've got problems with their cost analysis.
I'm not talking about the CDC.
I'm afraid we are going to have to leave it there, gentlemen. We are well out of time. We could go on with this debate, I suspect, for another hour. But sadly, time has beaten us. So all that remains for me to say is, Dr. Peter Mansfield, thank you for agreeing to take part in this programme this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Dr. Paul Emerson, thank you very much indeed. Your Ramsay Bakery time now is just 10 to 12.